It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central on this lovely late summer kind of day. Man, absolutely gorgeous today. I was just out with my kids at the football field at Mansion Park playing around. Just gorgeous. No school today in Altoona. I think Hollidaysburg's off also the day after Halloween, which is a brilliant thing. Hopefully everybody had a good Halloween last night. It was awesome. Halloween night was also trick-or-treat night, which was really cool. So my family had a great time walking. I just saw hundreds and hundreds of people. We live over kind of near the Baker School, so Baker Elementary School, so we just saw everybody that we know over there. So love Halloween. Love Halloween. 946-0435. That's our number if you'd like to join us, 946-0435. We got high school football action tonight on our Leitner Communications stations. I'll go over the schedule here in just a second. Obviously, the huge football game tomorrow between Penn State and Ohio State at Beaver Stadium. Neil Riddell will join me here in about 10, 12 minutes or so. Longtime Penn State beat writer for the Altoona Mirror. He's seen every significant Penn State-Ohio State game forever, and curious to get Neil's thoughts on what's at stake for Penn State tomorrow. What's at stake for James Franklin tomorrow? 6 years ago, James Franklin promised to make Penn State an elite program. Tomorrow's the chance. Tomorrow's the chance. Beat Ohio State tomorrow? Maybe go up to number two in the polls. We'll see if they would top Georgia. I don't know if they would or not. They're number three right now. You beat Ohio State, you got a really good chance of being undefeated. And that might make you an elite program in college football because they're going to make the playoff. Now, our definitions of elite, could vary on what you do in the playoff, that kind of thing. Here's our schedule for this evening on our Leitner Communication stations. BG Juni out of Valley on 98.5 WRTA. Let's see, right here on Hank 96.1 Hank FM, Hollidaysburg, Taylor Alderdice. Tyrone Forest Hills on 96.9 and 100.7 The Train. Central Penn Cambry on Mix 94.7. Johnstown Belfont on Cool 102.9 WCRO and also 95.3 WRSC. You want to join me to talk anything that's on your mind? High school football, Penn State, Ohio State, Halloween, scary movies, whatever you got. 946-0435. We'll go to the phone lines. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, Roger from Myrtle Beach.
What's up, Roger? How you doing, buddy? What are you thinking tomorrow? What's at stake for James Franklin tomorrow, Roger?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I mean, right now the current line that I'm seeing is 3 points. And 45.5 over under. So I'm thinking 24-20 tomorrow, Penn State. So I don't think Franklin's got anything to lose but just to win tomorrow. So, I think
you don't think James Franklin, who is 3-17 all time against top 10 teams, you don't think he has anything to lose tomorrow?
No, because he's got to win.
What do you mean? You don't think he has – that doesn't make sense.
No, I don't think he has to worry about losing tomorrow. He's going to win tomorrow. Your question is, what happens if he loses? What does that do to the program?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. In any way, shape, or form, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you about the perception of James Franklin if they lose tomorrow. Because if they lose tomorrow and they go undefeated, they're still a number 6 or 7 seed in the playoff. And they host a game and they win that and they've got a shot to go to the Final Four. So, in terms of the grand scheme of things for the program, I don't really think tomorrow is a must-win game. In terms of James Franklin, I see it a little bit differently.
I don't think. Well, first of all, Franklin's not going to go anywhere. So we can moan.
Roger, you're missing my boat all year because you've got Penn State winning. So you're in this frame. I'm telling you, if Penn State loses, James Franklin is going to get ripped to shreds again. I promise you. I'll bet you $50 trillion on it. If Penn State loses tomorrow, James Franklin, not so much the Penn State program, but James Franklin will get destroyed. I'm trying to get you to separate what the game means versus what it means for about perception to James Franklin.
Okay, so he loses tomorrow. All right, where do you think he's going to go? Okay, he's going to get destroyed. People are going to say he can't win the big game. He's a loser. We need to move on. And nothing ever happens when that happens.
Right.
So he is not going to go anywhere. He can get destroyed by the media.
Dude, it ain't the media. The fans are the ones destroying James Franklin. Believe me, I promise you. For as much faith as a lot of people have in Penn State football, they still don't have faith in James Franklin. This is why I brought up the discussion. If you want to pick Penn State to win the game, fine, that's great. I'm asking you if you, Roger, and Myrtle Beach have faith that James Franklin can win this kind of game. And if you do, why? When has he ever shown you it?
I believe this year, because one in particular, his offensive coordinator, has got all kinds of plays that it's very hard to defend. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah, I agree with that. There are ways to win on offense, to be creative. Yeah. They've got to have a better start. I mentioned this yesterday. They've scored seven points or less in three of their last four games in the first half. That's not going to cut it tomorrow. But I do like the offensive coordinator. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think defensively, I think overall we have the better players. But, I think offensively is where the game is going to be tomorrow. I think Drew's going to play. But will Drew finish? I don't know. But Bo certainly has shown that he's capable of running this offense under Andy. And I think we have enough offense tomorrow to pull this out.
Okay. Penn State can win tomorrow. So if they win, don't call me Monday saying, Geiger, you're an idiot. I told you they could win. I'll promise you they can win. You're sitting here telling me you think Penn State's got better players? You think Penn State's got better players than a team that's coming in here with a $20 million payroll that has maybe multiple first-round picks at wide receiver position? Deny Dennis Sutton is probably out tomorrow. KJ Winston, a first-rounder for Penn State, is out tomorrow and probably miss the rest of the year. Drew is 80 to 90% probably. You're telling me you think Penn – look, I will tell you, Roger, I think Penn State can win the game. In sports, anything can happen. If you're sitting here telling me you think Penn State has better players, I think you need some medication.
I think Penn State has a better team, not individual players. You're talking individual players. I think Penn State has a better team.
Okay. Very interesting. Interesting. Again, don't call me on Monday and say, I told you they could win, Geiger. I'm telling you they can win. I'm telling you they can win. They absolutely can win. It's a three-point line. In football, anything that happens, if Will Howard gets hurt for Ohio State or their wide receiver pulls a hamstring or their defense collapses, Penn State can win. If Drew Aller gets hurt, then Ohio State can win. I guess I'm trying to force a conversation on you that you don't want to have, because you're living in fandom right now that hope that Penn State can win. I just keep asking you, what faith do you have that James Franklin can win this kind of game?
I just think the offensive coordinator is the firecracker to what's going to make this game do or die for Penn State to win. And like you say, football's a team sport. I think we have the better team.
Very interesting. All right, I look forward to hearing from you Monday, because no matter what, if they win, this is going to be a monstrous win. If they lose, I guarantee you everybody's going to be calling here Monday ripping the hell out of James Franklin. Can we at least agree on the latter part?
Yeah, you can agree on the latter part. You also, if we win, what you'll listen to is the cluster that, of traffic that tomorrow for a noon game when they open up the gates at 7 o'clock. They don't turn on the one-way into Beaver Stadium until 9:30. That's the cluster. But that's for, you know, another day.
Now, that's an interesting logistical point because I actually happen to think that Penn State is at a disadvantage playing at noon tomorrow. The 7:30 games, yeah. The night games and wideouts, I've been there. Those are significant, significant advantages for Penn State against Ohio State. I think this sucks for Penn State that it's at noon. I think that's again, we can parse this game 50 different ways. That's a negative to me for Penn State. You want this game at night.
Yeah. Well, at least give them the 3:30 in the afternoon to get some people in.
Get some people in. Get them drunk. Get them loosened up. Get the crowd wild.
Yep.
I've been to 100 noon games. Well, 50 something noon games probably at Penn State. I don't care who's playing. It's just not the same at noon up there when everybody's not liquored up.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
I've been in line at on Porter Road at 5 o'clock in the morning, so yeah. I remember those days.
Good stuff, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. It's a good discussion. Again, I will sit here and tell you I think Penn State can win. I'm not going to sit here and let you say you think Penn State's got better players. If you think Penn State's got better players, you don't know much about the Ohio State roster. The Ohio State roster is loaded with players up and down. Better recruits, better transfers. Ohio State's got better players. Penn State can win the game. It's at home, home field advantage. There's lots of reasons Penn State can win the game. I don't think it's because they've got better players. The offensive coordinator, that's a good discussion. They got a better offensive coordinator. Do they have a better head coach? Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What's going on, Corey? It's Robin Bedford.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's a Friday. It's beautiful out. And hear me out for a couple seconds. You'll get it in the end. On behalf of your callers and your listeners, I don't even understand what language you're speaking. Like you're speaking Japanese.
I'm coming from Mars, man.
right. Now, hey, the call was successful. I think you guys both acknowledged that there's a chance that either team could lose. But history can be, you throw it out the window on the day of the game, but you can't tell me that it isn't on coaches' minds. It isn't something that's in the locker room during a week or they're brought up at times on practice fields or players or coaches aren't reading stuff on the internet. I mean, Franklin is, would you say 3-17?
Yep, against top 10 teams.
Whew. I mean, to be as good of a team and annually in the mix every year, that from a distance says, okay, so you beat up on the teams you should and you lose all the big games.
That's Penn State football in a nutshell right there. You beat up on the teams you should and you lose big games. That is the definition of Penn State football.
And this is someone that I know less about them than anybody you talk to on a given day. I mean, I know their record. I can tell you some of their players. And when they play Ohio State, I generally watch that game.
I want to ask you. You watched Ohio State, Oregon. I think Ohio State should have won that game. Crazy clock stuff at the end. Oregon won. Oregon's the number one team in the country. Oregon has a tremendous chance to win the national championship. You watched Ohio State, Oregon. What's your scouting report on Ohio State?
Dangerous team that you can't take a playoff that is in the game. Oregon was up fairly comfortably at times, and Ohio State would just kept fighting. And there was some plays that Oregon screwed up. Dan Lanning likes to go for it on fourth down as much as anybody in the nation, and that bit them. And there was some plays where they could have maybe extended it more and not had it such a close call. And, yeah, that was a bad throw at the end. But Ohio State, it's been a quiet year for their running game. I kind of look for that. What's his name? Judkins?
Yeah, he's from Ole Miss. Their running game is not good. Their running game for an Ohio State team is really, really down this year.
Which I don't, and Penn State obviously knows that. So this could be a time where they kind of catch him snoozing. Now, Will Howard, he has a ton of experience, and he gets very little run. He's thrown 80%. Three games in a row and four out of his last five. And that's against these tough as nails, Big Ten defenses. And he's out there, and he came from the flaky, you know, the finesse little sissy Big 12. And look what he's doing. Now, sure, he's got a great team around him, but Will Howard, there aren't many quarterbacks in the country that have more experienced than him. And I think that's what's going to shine through tomorrow.
And I got to take a break, but I will jump off on that. Penn State's secondary is not great. Penn State's pass rush is good, but not
33-17.
Penn State's pass rush is not good. They don't get to the quarterback a lot. Will Howard, they're going to come in here getting rid of the ball. I would not be surprised if Ohio State throws the ball 35-plus times. I don't know about 40, but Ohio State's going to come in here with a limited running game, and they're going to trust Will Howard to complete passes against this secondary. What'd you go 33-17?
33-17. I think it's good into the fourth quarter. I just think that Ohio State is able to pull away late, but I think it's going to be a really good game for most of the way.
Thanks, man. Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror will join me after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288 or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals every week on everyday essentials, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice. But now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Hank FM.
All right, looking forward to this discussion. Neil Riddell's covered Penn State for a long time. He's seen really every significant Ohio State-Penn State matchup, some great wins, 05, 08, 16, some bad losses, some great games that ended up in losses. They played out, had all that in the Altoona Mirror Game Day magazine, the excruciating losses in 2017, 2018. And Neil, it was after the 2018 game where James promised that Penn State would become an elite program. We've held him to that standard for 6 years. If they win tomorrow, is Penn State an elite program in college football?
Hey, Corey, I'd have to say, I mean, you know, he did promises. He's the one that started the discussion. It sounds like he was put up to it. I wondered whether he's writing his sermon, whether they win or lose after this game, whether he has that done, because it was clearly pre-planned. But, yeah, I mean, hey, you know, we've all gotten on him for his record against the top five, against Ohio State. And, you know, can he win the big game? But this is a big game. So, you know, surely if they can win this game, he's going to get credit, and that will kind of crash the party as an elite. Now, I mean, when you talk about sustained elitism of Alabama, that's probably a different discussion. But hey, they're gonna crack the code if they win this game anyway.
Right. So look, Penn State can win. I picked Ohio State. You can give your pick now or later on, whatever you want to do.
It's in the game day today. I picked Ohio State 28-23. I mean, I just think Penn State and James, they have to prove it. I mean, how many times have we picked it close or even picked them, and they haven't quite measured up in this game? So I think they have to prove it.
And I picked Ohio State 30-20. This is my 19th year covering Penn State. Last year was the first time I ever picked Penn State to beat them. And I still kick myself for that, because I thought going into the game last year, people thought Penn State had just as good a talent as Ohio State. That you know, from a sheer overall talent standpoint, that Penn State roster was really good. Ohio State had Marvin Harrison though, and that was basically the game. This time around, I had a caller 10 minutes ago tell me he thinks Penn State has a better team. He first of all said he thinks Penn State has better players, and I really challenged him on that, and then he said he thinks Penn State has a better team. I'll just ask you about that, just in general. Does Penn State have better players than Ohio State, and does Penn State have a better team than Ohio State?
Well, I haven't seen enough of Ohio State this year. I mean, you know, when you're, you know, every Saturday and you're covering a team, you don't really get to see as many games, full games, as you'd like to see. Last week, with the Wisconsin game at night, I was able to watch a lot of that Nebraska game, and I came away saying, geez, Ohio State is very beatable. You know, and you look back at last year, right, they got beat by Harrison, but how they let McCord beat them, you know, when you see what McCord did with Syracuse against Pitt the other night. So I just don't think Penn State has played to their ability in a lot of cases against Ohio State. It cost Yersich's job. I mean, they just have played kind of tentative and scared and tight in the big moment, called the wrong play at the wrong time against Ohio State and Michigan. But I think their players have been, hey, Ohio State's been really gifted at the receiver position for the last probably 10 years. And how many times have we seen comebacks because Penn State either didn't put enough pressure on the quarterback or be able to guard, you know, whether it's all these guys, K.J. Hill and Abuka, the kid that's up at Seattle now, and Harrison. I mean, that's been a real gifted position for Ohio State.
Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror, you mentioned something very interesting that Penn State plays, I think you said, did you say they play tight? They don't quite play the same way. Now, look, I give James – one of the things I do respect the heck out of James Franklin for, and he said it on Wednesday when he was asked about a big game. He goes, like, Bowling Green's a big game. You don't think Bowling Green's a big game? You lose that. See the reaction around here. And he's right. Penn State loses any game all of us, including me, including you, all the fans are going to be ripping everything going on. I think James does a great job of trying to be consistent and prepare the team week in and week out, no matter who they're playing. Try not to let them think that one game is bigger than another. However, when the game itself starts, it just seems different. It feels different. Is it him? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the pressure? Are we reading too much into it because Ohio State is so good and it's a different level of athlete than Illinois and what all these other teams? So where is there blame of why Penn State seems to be tight against Ohio State?
Well, you know, I agree he has to, and especially right now. I mean, sometimes you've seen coaches, even him earlier in his career, they would say, hey, this is why you come to Penn State, to play in these kinds of games. And same with Michigan and Ohio State. You know, their coaches have said the same things. It hasn't worked for James, so now he's really, really emphasizing the 1-0 thing. All the players have kind of parroted that this week. But he hasn't always act like that, Corey. I mean, he says it's a 1-0 mentality. And I know he tries to preach it. And he's been, you know, we're pretty good at winning the games they're supposed to win. But he's also been so devastated by this game that he's let Ohio State beat them twice, several times. He came in, you know, with this prepared statement after they blew the game in 18. So, I don't know. You can't say it's a 1-0 mentality and then need grief counseling after you lose. I mean, and then turn around and lose to some of these other teams that they have. So, I don't know.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm not sure what to believe. He also said this week when the topic of Big Noon came up, because most of the fans do not like the noon kickoff for a game of this magnitude. All the money they pay, they want to be able to enjoy the tailgate and really kind of gear up. I'm not saying it has to be 8 o'clock, but at least 3:30. And James came right out this week and said, hey, no, we love noon games against Ohio State. It's the best place in the world to be in Happy Valley, and everybody's on board with it. So, you know, on one hand, he says that, but he wanted the game to be a whiteout at night. But I think, on the other hand, what he's trying to do is he says, hey, no excuses. He doesn't want anybody going into this game with a negative mindset. And I do like that.
Oh, that grief counseling line. That's hilarious, man. All right, so some football-specific things. Penn State's defense. This is not your typical Penn State defense that's just awesome every week. They gave up 27 to Bowling Green. They gave up 30 to USC. The secondary is susceptible. Will Howard completes 74% of his passes. The biggest reason I'm picking Ohio State is I think Ohio State's going to be able to come in here and throw the ball. They don't run the ball that great. What have you seen from Penn State's defense, and how does it match up against an Ohio State team that has two tremendous receivers and a fifth-year efficient quarterback?
Yeah, and how about their running backs? I mean, you know, both those running backs have gouged Penn State. The one for Mississippi in the Peach Bowl, and Travion, he's been there forever. They have a lot of veteran players. I'm worried that, they might not have deny Dennis Sutton, mm-hmm. who's been maybe their best edge rusher outside of Carter. Their linebacking core has been kind of mediocre, and you're right. Everybody's thrown the ball at them. Even Wisconsin has thrown the ball, threw the ball at them, and if they were accurate at all, they and had much of an offense, they really would have scared Penn State. So, yeah, everybody has kind of found some soft spots in the scheme. And Tom Allen, they haven't started well, but he's adjusted nicely at halftime.
Drew Aller was really bad at Columbus last year. I think at one point in the game he was like 10 for 32. He completed some passes at the end, and they got a score late. But the offense really, really struggled out there. What could be different with Andy Kolarnicki and what they're trying to accomplish if Drew's at least 90-plus? If he's less than 90%, I don't even know what we're going to get. But if he's at least 90%-plus, and he's relatively healthy, what might they be able to do?
Well, I think they're going to try to take the pressure off him and see if they can run the ball. I mean, they got these two good running backs, and at times they've gotten away from the run. And I think, go back to last year's game. It was, you know, kind of a third and one, fourth and one, real early chance to go for it and set the tone. And they threw this pass in traffic to Lambert Smith that was incomplete, had to punt. So I think that's what I mean by being kind of tentative, of being committed to the run. You know, of course, they have a star in Warren, and they've used him so many different ways, lined him up in different spots. I think the offense is having a lot more creativity and a lot more fun with Kotelniki. And they just seem more have a resolve of what they want to do. I would say, because how many times have we seen an Ohio State defensive end blow up a Penn State game plan late when in the clutch? So I'd say lower scoring, trying to pound the ball, being patient. It's not the worst thing in the world to punt. I think Penn State's best chance to win this game is more of a low-scoring game.
Just big picture.
I don't mean 10-9, but I mean just being patient.
College football has changed so significantly. I think I first said it like 4 years ago, a time would come where Penn State might never have to beat Ohio State again in the regular season. And it might not matter a whole lot. If we're a 4-team playoff, definitely you got to beat Ohio State tomorrow. In a 12-team playoff, if they don't beat them and go 11-1, they're still probably a 6 or 7 seed at worst in the playoff and hosting a home game. Do you like that about college football? Do you not like it? I mean, this game has been so huge, but it just feels so different now.
I agree. I think it's opened up a whole new world of exciting possibilities, and it's not life and death. I mean, hey, this is a must-win for James, because if not now, when? I mean, he's got a veteran quarterback and some upper-class stars. It's the last time Ohio State's coming in here until 28. So, I mean, you don't want this stigma hanging over it that you just can't beat them. But I agree, in some ways, if they lose this game, play tough, and they might not have to play in the Big Ten championship game, really, which, other than it does get you a ticket to the quarterfinals, Power Conference champions will go there. But, you know, at what price? I mean, you're going to expose your players. It's already a long season. You might be better off having them rested until the 21st of December and hosting a game. So there's pros and cons, but I think all the different possibilities, having an SEC team maybe coming up here in December, who knows? I mean, if Pitt could beat SMU and then beat Clemson, unlikely both, they would get Miami probably in the big ACC final. How about that as a first-round game? Would that be amazing?
Oh, yeah, awesome. There are lots of possibilities. Several I've seen, depending on how things could go. You could be looking – I mean, again, you could be looking at Boise in the first round at Beaver Stadium, and then maybe playing BYU in the second round as the ACC champion. Or who the hell knows what these matchups could be? But no matter what you do against Ohio State tomorrow, the playoff – it's like the NCAA tournament. The bracket is everything. If you got to face Georgia in the second round, you're going home probably. If you got to face BYU in the second round, well, hey, welcome to the Final Four, kind of thing. Maybe. We'll see down the road. But the possibilities with all this are crazy. So is it something – do you like 12? Ultimately, do you think this will be good for the sport?
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. I think it's been so much more interesting this year. I don't necessarily like the idea of expanding it much further, because I really wonder about, will there be more of an opt-out factor? How many games can you ask these kids to play? I know they're making some money with NIL, but the guys that are talking about first-round generational wealth, I just don't know how much more you can ask from them. 15, 16, 17 games is – I know it's professional football, but you really have to admit that.
If there's anything, you can analyze the game a thousand different ways. Do you have anything in the back of your mind of like, don't be surprised if we see this? Like, don't be surprised. Offense, defense, James, Kolarnicki, Tom Allen, special teams, blocked field goal return for a touchdown. Is there anything kind of in the back of your mind of like, you know what? This could be something interesting if certain things play out.
Well, you know, Kolarnicki has really spread the field and run some different types of plays all season. You know, you've had Warren throw it. You've had him line up, you know, as a center on the edge. And then, you know, you've, you know, thrown it backwards to Aller, and then he's thrown it deep. I guess I'll be surprised if there's not some sort of an obvious or two kind of a really creative trick type of play. I think if they all of a sudden button it up and you don't see anything that looks out of the ordinary, that to me will be surprising.
Mine would be, I love Tyler Warren. I think the guy has been out of this world. But when you catch 17 passes against a team, that says more about that team, I think, than it says about you. My God, did USC know he was on the team, for crying out loud? I don't see any way that Tyler Warren goes in and dominates that game tomorrow. They're not going to let that dude beat them, which means to me, some wide receiver is going to have to do so. I think Ohio State probably likes its personnel enough to say, hey, we're going to take Tyler Warren away. If you're going to beat us, it's going to have to be Harrison Wallace, Julian Fleming, Liam Clifford. I think Liam Clifford's having, Clifford's having a pretty good year. You know, Amari, yeah. Whatever. I think it's going to have to be somebody other than Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that's what the conventional wisdom is. You know, you try to take away their number one threat. I mean, could it possibly be Julian Fleming? I mean, would that be the ultimate neat story that was true? I don't know that I trust him that much to be the guy that makes the key play. I'd say maybe, you know, Wallace getting back to him. They threw the ball to him five times. He caught five balls against West Virginia, and then he only had 12 in the next, like, five games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say he may be a little bit more reliable.
Good stuff, man. It's going to be enjoyable tomorrow, one way or another. There's a lot of drama. This is what you cover Penn State for, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, real privileged. I mean, all of us that have covered them a long time, you included, Corey. You know, it's just you don't get that many opportunities where people are on close to equal footing with the facilities and the tradition and the history. It's just, you know, it's just a great opportunity. And, hey, let's see what happens. But, you know, I still think Ohio State's the kind of program where they're coming in here expecting to win. Penn State's still hoping to win. Penn State needs to overcome that tomorrow.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Great, great line there by Neil Riddell. Ohio State comes in here expecting to win. Penn State comes in hoping to win. That's really the difference in the programs right now. We'll see if they can start to swing that to a degree, you know, if you can start to win some games, make it more of a rivalry that's actually contested by you winning some games. Clarkson, you've been on the hold for like 30 minutes, man. What's going on?
It's easier to listen to the show. We'll have the Fumble Rooski tomorrow, probably.
Fumble Rooski! All right!
Anyway, maybe this game is more important to OSU.
Absolutely is. There's no maybe about it. They've already lost a game. They lose this game, everybody there is going to want Ryan Day fired.
Right. So there you go. Now, Kolarnicki, who has he faced that has personnel like Ohio State?
Nobody. That's a big question.
And who did he face? Where is he from?
Kansas.
Where did he get him?
Kansas. Nobody there had defensive personnel. See, look,
who did he beat out there that would approach anywhere near Ohio?
Not from a defensive standpoint. No, not ever. I don't think Andy Kolarnicki and his career. Now, look, let's separate the conversations here. Andy Kotelnicki, to me, is a brilliant, like, mastermind of schemes and cleverness and creativity and all of that stuff. He's never beaten a team in his career with this kind of defense.
Yes, it's somewhat McSorley and who was the guy we had then?
Mike Yurcich. I'm sorry, that was Ricky Ronnie.
No, wasn't it?
Or do you mean before, with Joe Moorhead?
Yes. Yeah, wasn't it Moorhead?
Moorhead was here 16-17, then Ricky Ronnie 18-19.
Yeah, so Kolonecki is here now with a hybrid situation here now, with the pro-style quarterback as opposed to the college.
Bingo. Let's get into the football thing there. Andy Kotelnicki, in a perfect world,
yes, I know where you're going,
would have Bo Prabula kind of guy as a quarterback, not Drew Aller. Now, I'm not saying he'd rather have Bo Prabula than Drew Aller, but in a perfect world, in the offense that Andy Kotelnicki runs, he wants a guy who's more like Bo Prabula than Drew Aller. Because that's what he had at Kansas. That's what makes an Andy Kotelnicki offense even more dangerous if your quarterback might do 10 different things. And Drew's just not that quarterback.
Right, and the athletes on the other side with Ohio State are going to be a little bit different than, say, Wisconsin and some of the other Big Ten schools, because there just seemed to be a lack of quickness.
Hey, Drew was horrendous last year against Ohio State. Mike Yurcich was horrendous in that game, and that's kind of got him fired, that in the Michigan game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what a different play caller, different coordinator can do with somebody like Drew, with somebody like Bo, because last year was just an embarrassment.
Well, it was also an embarrassment on going for one or going for two.
Sure.
Didn't we have that screw up last year?
Sure, yep.
So I think Penn State can win the game. I think they have to prove they can run the ball, establish a running attack, get at least 150 yards on the ground.
Wow. They've not topped 75 in any of the last seven games.
Right.
So you're talking double. So again,
if they can reach that, then they're going to be in good position.
They've lost seven consecutive games and they've not rushed for more than 75 yards in any of those.
Okay,
Saquon had 42 yards against them in 17. I think Miles Sanders had 43 yards against them in 18. Yep. These are elite level NFL kind of guys.
Hopefully we're not into a situation where we have to rely upon a kicker, although the kid looks pretty good that they have there.
Yeah.
I think they can win the game. I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, what's the over-under, 45?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, one team's going to have on the upper side of the 20s, the other team's going to have the lower side of the 20s.
Penn State can win the game. I don't think Penn State can win the game if it needs to score 30 points. Penn State's not scoring 30 points. They could win the game 24-23.
Well,
I think 24 is probably the max number that Penn State can expect to score and win the game.
The bounces of the game. I mean, how do you predict a pass right in the gut of somebody, but it bounces off of them, and it bounces the right way for the other team on the defensive side?
Yep.
How can you predict that? So you got to win the turnovers. You could win the turnovers, but have it at a bad time to have that one turnover that changes the whole game. But as we say, it's going to be interesting, and I think it's maybe more important to OSU tomorrow's game than it is to Penn State in terms of, oh, by the way, isn't the second round of the playoffs at bowl sites?
Yes. Yeah. The first round is at a home game, and then the higher seed, the second round is like the traditional Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, those kinds of Orange Bowl,
so
those kinds of things.
It's not an on-campus thing.
No, not the second round, right.
Right. Right.
Very good. Appreciate the call. I got another call. I got to take a break here. So if you're on the line, bear with me. I'll get to you here in a couple minutes.
Tyler Reddick is on. He needed to win last week, and he did win. He moves on to the Championship Four race at Phoenix.
I knew we needed to come in here and win, but I didn't ever foresee it being as crazy as it was today as it ended up playing out. But, yeah, we put in a tough spot, and we had to rise to the occasion, and we did as a team, and just it takes everybody. We did a really good job of overcoming the things that went our way that didn't work out, and just being gutsy and willing to put it all on the line like we did.
And Tyler talks about that slippery first pit stall 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, you know, we definitely struggled with it at Vegas a week ago too, but we're just trying to, at bare minimum, just take the gain that stall one gives us and live with it, make the most of it. But yeah, it seemed like more times than not, it just was like, man, if we could just get a little more traction out of this first stall, we would we'd be passing cars on pit road instead of maintaining or losing one or two. But yeah, it's just the struggle that you have at some of these tracks. You know, that first pit stall does have an advantage, but when you leave that pit stall, you're on asphalt or a different surface that's slick. And certainly had my struggles with it today and last week.
Basically, this weekend for Tyler Reddick is a vacation week. He's just going to go race and have fun and go for the win, I'm guessing. This is the final lap.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
When you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. What if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
We've had some fantastic discussion today. Huge game tomorrow. Lots of ways to discuss it. One thing I don't like doing, I just want to mention this real quick before I get to our next call. One thing I don't like doing is breaking, like a lot of these Penn State football reporters that do this, and they're friends of mine and colleagues, they've done it a long time and I respect them, they're breaking down like every matchup, this player versus that player, and they're spending all kinds of time breaking down every single thing. It almost never comes down to that. It almost never comes down to any of that kind of stuff, okay? You can spend 20 minutes breaking down your left tackle versus their defensive end, but if your left tackle gets hurt in the second series of the game, that's a moot point now. So to try to break down individual and personnel match, it's easy if you've got a Marvin Harrison Jr., one guy who's just so much better than everybody else, or you've got a quarterback who completes 74% in Will Howard versus Drew Aller, who you know, is not fully healthy and needs to prove himself against this kind of team. It's very, very difficult to really try to pinpoint individual matchups and Abdul Carter versus this guy, who's going to spy this guy. Because in these kinds of games, there are 50 different things could happen. 50 different things could happen. Penn State's best play in the history of the entire program was a miracle. I almost said it. I've never called it a fluke ever. I've avoided calling it a fluke. The greatest single play in Penn State football history was a miracle that no one on earth could have predicted decide the game. The field goal, blocked field goal return for a touchdown in 2016. So that's why I enjoy having lots of discussions. There are 100 different discussions we could have, But it bothers me sometimes when so many reporters spend so much time this particular guy versus that particular guy, and then you only barely end up seeing that matchup in the game. All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Andy from Altoona, Corey.
Andy, what's going on?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Was the Wednesday press conference after practice the appropriate time to bring up the sexual assault allegations against two former players? Couldn't James have said, see me after the scheduled press conference and we'll deal with it then? He didn't, the person that asked that question didn't have to ask it when he asked it, did he?
Yes. Because the news had just broken. Monday, James had a press conference on Monday, and then the news broke either Monday night or Tuesday. I can't remember when. I think it might have been Tuesday that the news broke. The Wednesday,
right.
The Wednesday press conference last week, we're talking last week, that was the first media availability for James Franklin after the news broke. And so, yes, he has to be asked that question.
But you understand my point that it might not have been the appropriate time or place to do it. Because there are people that feel like that, Corey.
Well, they're wrong. They're wrong, and they don't know our jobs. In the media,
okay.
you talk to James Franklin on Monday, you talk to him on Wednesday, you talk to him on Saturday. And that's it. You give me the appropriate time. So players are charged with rape on a Tuesday. You have a press conference with a coach on a Wednesday. You tell me when the appropriate time is to ask.
You take the person that asked the question aside after everybody else has their questions answered, and you deal with it in private, Corey.
That's not the way the media works, Andy. The media works on a giant scale with a $1 billion football program and two players charged with rape. You're going to get asked questions publicly. Andy, I appreciate you waiting online. I appreciate the question, but you don't understand how the media works. And a lot of people in this country don't understand that whether fans like it or not, tough questions have to be asked. Tough questions have to be asked. If we have a journalist all over this country who don't want to ask tough questions, you end up down a very, 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 very dangerous and slippery slope with sports figures, entertainers, politicians, whatever, who feel like they can just get away with anything.
The person that asked the question was asking a tough question.
Two people did. Two people asked. John Sauber.
It might have been the right time or place to do it, Corey.
Okay,
that's
fine.
That's all I'm trying to tell you.
And I'm trying to tell you you're wrong. I'm trying to tell you that the day after the charges were announced, the next time that coach is available, the coach who makes $8.5 million and who speaks for the football program above any and all other people, he has to be asked that question the very next press availability. That's the way the media works. If you don't like the media, bitch about the media. A lot of people in this country bitch about the media. You hate the media. You think the media is corrupt. You think we're all a bunch of idiots and morons, and we hate people. If I pick against Penn State, you think I hate Penn State? The media's job is to ask questions that need to be asked, whether or hell the person who's answering the questions likes it or not.
Okay, cool. Thanks for your time.
Very good, Andy. Appreciate it. 946-0435. We're going to take a break, wrap things up here in just a second.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. when everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats. At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
Great show today. Our show brought to you every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobaccos, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. We greatly appreciate J.M. Boswell and all of his support for our program. If you're heading to the Penn State game tomorrow, maybe you want to stop by there, 6481 William Penn Highway, open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Maybe stop by tonight. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. I've got Ohio State 30 to 20. The line is 3.5. For entertainment purposes only, I'd say buy that line down to 3 and hammer that with whatever the hell you got in your bank account. I think Ohio State wins this by more than 3 points. I think Penn State's a very good team. I don't think they are an elite team. And here's something we've not spent enough time on this week Ohio State already has a loss. Ohio State lost to Oregon. Ohio State spent $20 million on this team. $20 million. They've got good players. A lot of really good players. Penn State's got a lot of really good players. Ohio State's got better players. They've already got a loss. This game really would back them in the corner if they lose. It wouldn't necessarily knock them out of playoff contention. They could still get in with two losses. But Ryan Day could be really backed in the corner. People over there would be wanting him fired. There are greater expectations at Ohio State than Penn State could ever imagine. Sean Clifford would have never started for 16 years at Ohio State because they've got expectations. So I'm going Buckeyes. Have a good weekend, everybody.
KFM, WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.